Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I think you're going to find my guest today has a lot of very interesting information. I know when it was presented to me, I said, okay, ho-hum, let me see what else somebody else has got. We're going to be talking about hungry for health, and all of us at one time or another have heard various statements made by different people, and we'll go, okay, that's fine, that's very nice, and then we move on through our lives. But we have with us today Dr. Susan Silberstein, and she has got a different twist that I think you will find very interesting. Why? Because she is a researcher. She's going to be talking about some very specific things, and I want to welcome Dr. Susan Silberstein to my show. Hello, and thank you for being my guest today.
My pleasure, Donna.
I received, as I just said, information on one, Hungry for Health. And I will be honest with you, I just said, well, this is very nice. But I was very, very impressed with the DVD of a talk that you gave and the specific information that you were selling it because you're
well,
trying to
Well, I was sharing
away.
It.
Yeah, sharing, but trying to sell to people, in a sense, an idea. Say, buy this idea so you can enjoy better wellness. Because we all have patternings in our life that we experience. Your statistics were phenomenal. And I'd like for you to share some of those with our audience. The amount of Americans that are affected, males versus females. Can you give us those stats?
Well, I assume that we want to talk about, especially about breast cancer since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but certainly we have some serious problems in the cancer field in general. The current rate of those people being born about the year 2000 is that they will get cancer at about a 1 in 2 lifetime rate. That means 1 out of 2 people, specifically 1 out of 3 females, and that's starting to get even worse, and 1 out of 2 males will get cancer sometime in their lifetime. Unfortunately, that also is true for cardiovascular disease and diabetes. That's the current rate. My area of expertise is, of course, cancer.
Now, you are the founder and director of the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education.
That is correct.
You have done a video, Breast Cancer, the Diet Connection. You also are the editor of Immune Perspectives magazine. You lecture all over the country. And you have helped to coordinate. Hi, we've been having a little bit of a problem with our technology here, and so we're trying to straighten it out. But I was mentioning that you have coordinated health conferences. Being a medical professional, especially in the United States, what is it that you have found has been your biggest challenge in communicating with your medical colleagues? Because there are so many people in the area of medicine that don't feel like there is a correlation between diet and wellness. What do you perceive?
Well, I perceive that they have missed out in their medical school training. We know that the average young medical student is offered a 30, 60, or perhaps as much as a 90-minute elective in nutrition. And, of course, once you say the word elective, that means, well, I don't have to pick it because it's not a core curriculum course and it can't be all that important, or it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find is that these young graduates have not been taught, although they take the Hippocratic Oath, they haven't been taught the message that the father of medicine originally taught. Hippocrates said, natural forces within us are the true healers, and food should be our medicine. Our medicine should be our food. Mm-hmm. So our young doctors aren't getting that. However, there is ample documentation, and it is published in peer-reviewed medical journals. It appears in the China Oxford Cornell Diet and Health Project. It has been endorsed by the National Cancer Institute, stating that dietary factors can dramatically influence our risk for getting disease, our risk for recurrence of disease, and can definitely influence outcome of disease, especially cancer.
You also have in your material talking about the research that you've done at your facility and how 75% to 80% of the research you have done has found a direct correlation between food and a person's response patterning to being able to withstand or actually get rid of the disease. Tell us about that relationship.
Certainly. The World Health Organization has stated that 75% of all diseases are diet-related, and the National Cancer Institute has stated that up to 75% of all cancer deaths could be avoided by dietary change. So that is not particularly our research. Dr. Jerome Levy and Dr. Susan Love, who have written very prestigious breast cancer books, have stated that 80% of all diagnosed breast cancers are not reflective of family history or the genes. Breast cancer genes actually are responsible for only 5 to 8% of all diagnosed breast cancer, and all told, classically recognized risk factors, including family history, account for only about 20 or 25% of the diagnosed breast cancer in this country. So, we started interviewing our patients because we actually found the same figures. We found that about 80% of our patients had no classical risk factors other than being female. And of course, our Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, is not specific to breast cancer. We have helped over 10,000 women with breast cancer, but we help patients with all kinds of cancers. So here we are. We're looking at these women. We're sitting face to face with them. And we start to interview them, and we're looking for other common denominators that might explain their disease. And we're reviewing and assessing risk factors to see what new information we could uncover that could empower these women to make a difference in their disease outcome by addressing its causes. And amazingly, we actually found another 24 risk factors that nearly all of these women had in common. Now, what's interesting about the classical risk factors, and they include age and family history and early menses and late menopause and late childbirth or no childbirth, as well as the genes. As I mentioned, these risk factors only account for a small percentage of all the breast cancers. And guess what? These are the ones you can't do anything about. You can't change when you were born, to whom you were born, who was born to you, when. You know, all of these, you can't change your sex, any of that, your gender. So what you can change is these other 24 risk factors, which have to do specifically with lifestyle changes. So the focusing on the classical risk factors may be disempowering, but focusing on lifestyle factors is very empowering because you can change those. And that's why I put together my breast cancer kit the Beat Breast Cancer Kit to include all of this incredibly empowering information that includes diet and exercise and stress management and environmental exposures and the kinds of things that we can actually make a difference in through our choices. And what we have found, and this is published all over in major medical journals, we have found that when we make certain of these choices, we can influence not only whether our genes express themselves, but also hormone levels and immune function.
You have some fascinating details regarding meat. In Europe, they have outlawed the use of hormones. They have become very, very strict regarding meat, where they get it from, what the animals are fed. And here in the United States, we are, I think, catching up with that. And organic meat has become a big buzzword, if you will, as well as organic fruits and vegetables and this type of thing. Tell us what the chemicals are in the hormones when they're fed to animals and how they affect the body's immune system.
Yes, there are a number of issues with red meat, many issues. So one of the issues just has to do with the fat content. The more saturated fat we have in the diet, the more prevalence we're going to have of the hormones that promote breast cancer as well as other cancers. So that's one of our issues. A second issue is that meat doesn't have any fiber in it, and fiber is able to counteract and kind of bind up the hormones and carcinogens that promote cancers like breast cancer. Now, the next issue has to do with the bovine growth hormones that have been administered to Western cattle. We have the term Ralgro, we have the term Zearalenol. These bovine growth hormones began to be added to Western cattle in about the 1950s. And we actually see a dramatic rise in breast cancer rates in the United States that parallels that change in the animal hormone. So that we're actually seeing 700% increases in breast cancer in certain studies among women consuming a lot of red meat, 25% increased risks in other studies, 250% risk in yet other studies. And these are published in very prestigious journals, the Cancer Research Journal, the Journal of International Journal of Cancer, the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, etc. So this is really serious business.
Now, there's also a growth hormone that is transferred into milk. And you bring out some very interesting information about milk in human beings, and it's something I've been aware of for years. Most women typically don't like milk. This may sound strange, but they really don't want to sit down and drink glasses of it. Now, some of my listeners will say, oh, but yes, I do. Women generally have not been milk drinkers, but in our country, this has been something that's been promoted in certain areas of the world. Cheese is a mainstay. Yogurt among certain cultures has been very strong. And so here we are in the United States. There's people that feel like they're concerned about calcium, and I know we can get it from plants. But tell us about milk, what the research has come forth with on milk.
Certainly. And by the way, most of the women that I have interviewed also have concurred that they're not drinkers of milk per se, but they love cheese and they eat plenty of ice cream. And so, yeah, milk is not just in the glass, so to speak. But here's what happens. First of all, we have these added bovine growth hormones that are often given to cows to make them lactate more. And, of course, if you want to have breasts that look like the udders of cows, that's a great way to do it, is to consume that kind of milk. But even organic cow's milk contains insulin-like growth factors, which will stimulate existing cancer cells to grow. There are insulin receptors on the surface of breast tissue. And, for example, we learned that when Germany was still divided, Western Germany had plentiful dairy access, whereas Eastern Germany had dairy shortages. And it was noted that there were much higher rates of breast cancer among the West German women than the East German women. And if we look at countries today that have very high rates of breast cancer, of milk consumption, like the U.S., and the Netherlands, and we compare them with countries that have very low consumption of dairy, like Asian countries, Korea, Singapore, etc., we find that the rates of breast cancer totally parallel the rates of dairy intake. And by the way, just so your listeners know, osteoporosis goes hand in hand with the countries that have the highest milk consumption. Now, one thing that's really important to me, Donna, is that we not leave the impression with our listeners that everything they eat is bad. You know, they can't have milk, they can't have meat, they can't have cheese, mm-hmm. they can't have ice cream, they can't have, and there are plenty of others, sugar, alcohol. I mean, I've got a whole list of them, caffeine-like products. But what is in my kit and what is in my DVD and my book, et cetera, are the specific foods and beverages that you can consume that help get you out of breast cancer risk and out of breast cancer trouble. And the most important thing to remember is that little changes produce big results.
Yes, one of the things that you bring out is eat colorful. Make sure you have a lot of color in your food, which when you look at the vegetable kingdom, you have your reds, your oranges, your yellows, your greens, your purples. You want to have that array of color in fruits and vegetables. Vegetables, though, can be very high in a protein content, if a person is into juicing. But if they're not into juicing, because that does take time, and you have a machine, you have to clean and all this kind of stuff. What are some of the things in the busy world we have today that you would recommend to women, because you're really focusing on breast cancer right now. This is the month for that. But when you're talking about this, we're talking about men too, because the cancers in men, we just got a call, our family did, from a friend who ended up getting testicular cancer. And these are things, you know, you hear about prostate with the older men, but this is a young man. This is not someone that's in his 50s, 60s.
Actually, 70s. Testicular cancer does tend to run in much younger men, and now we're seeing prostate cancer paralleling breast cancer hitting 30 and 40-year-old men, whereas, as you mentioned, it used to be a disease of older men, and mm-hmm. I think that's all connected to the hormones. But to answer your original question, what can women do? First of all, let me explain that Hungry for Health is actually a recipe book. And I wrote that recipe book to prove to women, and men too, that eating healthy does not mean that we have to be slaving in the kitchen all day, that we have to be making these really weird concoctions with very hard-to-find ingredients, and at the end of all that, it tastes horrible. Mm-hmm. I was out to dispel those myths by proving that we can have extremely nutritionally dense and healing recipes that are simple to prepare with easy-to-find ingredients, and at the end of the day, they taste fantastic. And so I have desserts in that recipe book that are actually better for you than if you never ate dessert at all. They're that nutritionally dense. I've got smoothies and snacks and appetizers, main courses, and I don't say that you have to be a vegetarian in order to be healthy, but you do have to consume a heavily plant-based diet. But I promise you that you will find recipes in this book that you absolutely love. and you can't believe how helpful they are.
We'll talk about a couple of those. Let's talk about greens.
Mm-hmm.
It has been my awareness, especially with women. It's good for men, but especially for women as they mature, having as much green in the diet, green like your kale and your broccoli and your spinach, all of this.
Absolutely.
Talk about the green and why it is so valuable.
There are many reasons why green is valuable. First of all, the chlorophyll content. Chlorophyll has exactly the same molecular structure as hemoglobin, only one tiny atom different, magnesium for iron. And therefore, it is a powerful blood builder and wound healer. Now, in addition, it brings oxygen into the body the same way hemoglobin carries oxygen. And cancers are anaerobic. They hate oxygen. And so the more oxygen you have, the less likely you have cancer cells that are ever going to grow. In fact, they're going to die more easily. Now, another aspect of the greens has to do with the mineral content and the mineral balance. Greens are extremely high in calcium, but they are, and it is bioavailable calcium, means the body can assimilate it much more easily than it can the calcium in a milk product. And one of the reasons for that is that it's also high in important mineral cofactors that the body needs in order to use calcium. That means that the greens also have a very high content of magnesium. And the body really can't use calcium without magnesium. Magnesium is what makes bones flexible, whereas calcium only makes them dense, and most women would rather have thin bones that don't shatter as opposed to thick bones that are brittle, and I'm one of them. But what's really important is that if you just get calcium and you don't get it in its natural environment with cofactors like magnesium, then actually the body says, I've got all this calcium, I need to use it, I don't know what to do, if I take the magnesium from the heart, she'll die, let me take it from the bones, it's not quite as essential an organ. And so the body actually leaches magnesium out of the bones in order to couple it with that big ingestion of straight calcium so that it can figure out what to do with it. So that's where we get this oxymoron of taking in calcium and creating the very osteoporosis we were trying to avoid.
You give some interesting details that the phytonutrients that can be found in cruciferous brassica family of vegetables, which is broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, kale, collard, and Brussels sprouts. Now, it's been known for a long time that they are very healthy. They really work at detoxifying the body many times and just have components in them that are very valuable. But you say it's their content of indole and sulfur compounds, which support key liver enzyme functions and detoxification. And you say these are detoxification pathways that can neutralize dangerous hormones and carcinogens. And you talk about an Israeli experiment with a group of women. Tell us about that experiment.
You know, I love that experiment because it proves that we can make changes for a very short period of time and get some really exciting results. That was one of many, many studies on women living on one of the farm communities called a kibbutz. And these women had their estrogen levels, different types of estrogens tested before and after the experiment, and they were given a good-sized dose of crucifers along with their regular diet for 7 days in a row. And what the researchers found was that the levels of the dangerous estrogen, the kind that promotes breast cancer, the 16-hydroxyestrogen, dropped dramatically within 7 days, whereas the levels of the protective estrogen that actually crowds out that actually crowds out the more dangerous estrogen, those levels went up dramatically. And that was only 7 days. So we can see that that is, we can get big results with just a short amount of effort. Not that I want women to stop having their crucifers after a week, but we have seen other studies that have shown that in as small a concentration as 25 parts per billion, cruciferous extracts on live human breast cancer cells could slow the growth of those cells and block the ability of estrogen to turn on certain breast cancer genes. This is powerful stuff.
Yes, it is. It's very, very powerful. And I wanted to share one of your recipes, and being that this is the fall of the year, I just felt that it was really appropriate. Your curried pumpkin soup that you have in here, and curried pumpkin soup, I've had it, and it is absolutely delicious. But this is interesting in that you're not using any milk or any cream. And being of the nature of knowledge that you have and what you've shared about milk and things like this, I thought that this was very, very important. So for those of you listening, this is what the recipe is. It's a can, a 15-ounce can of unsweetened pumpkin, one apple peeled and diced, 1 cup of apple juice, 1/2 cup of vegetable stock, 1 cup of water, 1/2 of medium onion, you dice it up finely, 1 teaspoon of curry powder, 1/4 teaspoon of thyme, 2 teaspoons of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of parsley, 1/8 teaspoon of sea salt, and 1/8 teaspoon of black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg. Now you put all of that together into a blender or a Cuisinart. You blend it thoroughly, put it in a large saucepan, and heat it for 10 minutes stirring, and then you serve it. That is simple.
Actually, that's one of my more elaborate recipes. Most of the recipes have even a shorter list of ingredients, and I might add that the honey can is actually 2 tablespoons, but you can use agave. Agave is a cactus sweetener that doesn't raise the glycemic index the way honey can do. And so if you're really concerned about that, you can do the 2 tablespoons of agave. And I'm glad you chose this one, not only because of the pumpkin season, but also so that I can mention something about turmeric, which is the main ingredient in the curry powder. That actually has been shown to dramatically inhibit the growth of cancerous tumors, including breast and stomach cancer.
There has been a lot of news in media regarding Patrick Swayze. I believe he had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And this is a man that went through quite a battle, but you talk in your DVD about the different cancers, pancreatic, liver, stomach cancers, all of these things being affected in a very positive way when you use nutrition as part of the medical treatment. You call it nutritional chemotherapy.
Kitchen chemo, yes.
Yes, and I really like that because I think that is a very good thing to keep in mind because there is just abhorrent ignorance that we have where we don't really want to acknowledge how important nutrition is in our diet. And I know we're coming close to the end of our time, Doctor. I really would like to have you give out your 2 websites because your websites each have a different purpose, and I know my listeners would like to know what those purposes are and what is different about them. So would you cover that, please?
Certainly. www.beatcancer.org explains all of the services and programs of my nonprofit organization where patients can learn about free counseling one-on-one by telephone, and beatcancerkit.com where you can learn about my Beat Breast Cancer Kit, my Beat Cancer Diet Kit, my Beat Cancer Toolkit, and the phenomenal offers that I provide. I so much want people to get this information that I'm offering this material that I've spent 30 years gathering at a tremendous discount with all kinds of free bonuses that I'm throwing in and magazines and reports, etc., just so they can get the power that they need to make the changes that they are capable of changing to prevent cancer, prevent its recurrence, or support someone who's dealing with cancer currently. And I'm also going to give you my toll-free number, which you can call if you'd like to ask some questions about the various materials and services that we can provide. It's 888-551-2223.
888-551-2223. Dr. Silberstein has been my guest today. Her information is excellent. I recommend highly you go to her website. Check it out. Don't just take my word for it. Because it's not just the cookbook. It's the facts, the details, the information that is backed up by scientific research now. This is not hoodoo voodoo. This is real stuff about.
And by the way, I just want to add one other thing.
Sure.
Those who go to the BeCancerKit.com, even if they don't buy a kit, but they just want to leave us their email address, I will send free materials to them, free reports, just for coming to visit.
Well, Doctor, I so appreciate your time. Again, for those of you listening, Dr. Susan Silberstein, the website, beatcancer.org, beatcancerkit.com, free toll-free number, 888-551-2223. Make a difference with your life and also be an example for others. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Thank you, Doctor, for being my guest today. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Donna.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The number to call into is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line at 530-876-3222. So any of those lines, just give me a buzz, and remember, I'm an information resource. If this is your first time listening to the broadcast, we're so delighted that you are a part of our listening family today. And all you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you desire. Well, I have to share with you that this past weekend, I had the most wonderful experience by going up into an area called Bo, Washington, interacting with a woman by the name of Kathy and Bo, who's going to be an upcoming guest, women that are involved in equine therapy. Now, if you've never heard about this, it's working with horses to help people deal with issues. Well, I didn't go up there because I had any issues specifically, but I'll tell you what, I've always had a passion for horses, and I had an opportunity to be face-to-face, side-by-side with them, and it was a marvelous, marvelous experience. I think one of the greatest gifts you can ever give yourself is to be able to connect with animals and to be out in an environment that allows you to sort of be on an equal ground, if you will. And it gives you a lot of insights into yourself, into people that are around you, into how to communicate, how to do all kinds of things. And these women, like I said, we'll be talking to them in November. And we will be finding a little bit more about how this has come about, why it is such a valuable tool to use. But it really was a tremendous experience. And many times you don't realize the differences about different species of creatures that are on this planet. And when you take the time to find out about how they live, maybe how they react, what their patterns are, what you have to be attentive to, it sure can make you realize that the world that you've been living in is a very, very small one. And every time you take a step to educate yourself in a new area of expertise, it opens you up to more about what life really is all about. And it is just, it's just something I think I'd recommend to anyone. And if you found that you've had a passion, and maybe you're a person that loves birds, we have a friend that former military guy, and boy, he was just as straight and narrow as you could ever find, and he said, anybody would have said to me that I was going to be a bird watcher, I would have said they were nuts. I would have been insulted years ago. But he really found that when he moved to a particular area, that he was seeing all of these interesting birds, and he started asking himself, I wonder what kind of birds they are. And then he started to explore the behavioral patterns, got some books from the library. And now he can talk about all of these different creatures, what they do, how they fit into the ecosystem, and what it is that they contribute to life. Not only do they look pretty, but they're actually doing something very significant in this everyday experience we call life. Same thing happened. My husband and I happened to watch a program on nature regarding the involvement of a fig tree and a little tiny wasp, and how this life cycle of interaction had been going on for thousands and thousands of years. We don't know until we explore. And as we explore, just like the doctor who found through research, this is 30 years of her life that she's been involved in dealing with serious illnesses, people that are in critical situations and finding out that food is a resource for wellness. Now, this shouldn't be a big surprise. It isn't, but they had to ask the questions, why? Why is it that one food seems to serve better than another? All of this is part of curiosity, part of exploration, part of understanding how important it is that we be aware, one, of our environment, two, of the interaction among things, and why certain substances have an effect on us physiological self. Why is that the case? What is it that's the trigger? Why does it work in some people as a negative and in other people as a positive? Curiosity, it's so important. So if you really feel like life is sort of putting you in a capsule, the temps are getting a little bit colder, you may decide you want to stay in a little bit more, and you just don't want to really be out too much in life, shift your thinking. Go on out, take a class, do something that is going to allow you to explore a new arena of thinking. Open up your mind, open up your attitudes. It is absolutely liberating. And what it will do, it will not only give you an awareness that there's so much in life you've never even touched upon, but more than that, it'll bring you in contact with other people who have so much to offer. Maybe, like Dr. Silberstein, they have spent years researching things, and you interact with them, and you find out, wow, I can take an idea or a concept, and I can move forward with it in a new direction. How can this benefit me? How can it benefit someone else? I was reading material not too long ago where they said to serve is one of the best things that we can ever recognize. But to really be able to serve life efficiently, effectively, and well, we do have to serve ourselves first. We need to be able to educate ourselves to understand that by education and then application, we're going to be able to contribute something very unique, special, and important to life. We may never be written up in a major magazine in the world, but hey, you make a difference. But it's hard to pass along good things when you are stuck somewhere where you are in a paradigm where you just don't see where there is opportunity. There are people I've talked with through the years that they will be so locked in a particular patterning of thought. You'll introduce them to something new and they'll say no. It's sort of like a 2-year-old saying, nope, don't want to touch spinach. They won't have a reason for it. They maybe have never tasted it in their lives, but by golly, they know they don't want spinach. Well, the thing is, we all have that 3-year-old inside of us. We don't want change. We say, no, I don't want to be bothered today. And that's all right. That's our choice. That's our right as individuals. But the key is when we open ourselves up to learn, when we open up our world to expand it, so that we are going to become aware of the greatness of what life has to offer us. When we do that, we're not going to be stuck for very long because the sheer momentum of exploration is going to pick us up and carry us forward. So I had a quote that someone had passed along to me. Without obstacles, there's no need for courage. Sharon Seitz Adams is the person that came to. We're going to be going to our first caller today in just a moment. But think about that. Without obstacles, there's no need for courage. I like that. Don't be afraid. Be willing to invest in yourself because you're really the best asset you've got. You lost all of your physical possessions today. Who you are, what you know could bring even more abundance into your life. Let's go to our first caller today. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Patty from Tucson.
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
And let's get down to business with you, Patty. The first thing I'm looking at is a great deal of work. You're going to find yourself having to really be on guard and not let your emotions lead you around by the nose. It's going to be important for you to pay attention to detail. And you need to be patient with the fact that things are not moving along with a rapidness that you would really like. However, you just need to know that that is something that is just the pace that is going to have to be done. It's slow but sure and being consistent, and you'll be very glad that it wasn't rushed along as you find out about extenuating circumstances in the next couple of weeks. What would you like to ask me, Patty?
Basically that. I've had some things that I was working on, and they were turned down. So I ended up having big fat zeros instead of progressing. And I have some other projects that I've been working on and waiting to hear back on those. So I, you know, basically what you had just picked up on.
Slow but sure. Slow but sure. Keep the pace. Keep the pace.
Okay.
And you'll get some insights in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Well, that's good because I was wondering.
Well, the thing is, Patty, if you get stuck in the rejection and you don't know what else is going on, you may find that if you just stay stuck with that, if you hang on to that, if you claim ownership to that particular experience, which is your right to do if you want, but I give it a timer. I'd say 15 minutes, I'll really get all uptight about this, I'll write out all my feelings about it. When the timer goes off at 15 minutes, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm on to something else. Move on.
Yeah.
And if you need some feedback from some other people, ask them for it. And I think that you're going to hear some things that are going to be surprising to you. You're going to say, oh, okay, that is interesting, and now I have an understanding of perhaps what I need to do or what I don't need to do or what I should totally ignore.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know I'm continuing on and definitely, boning up on what I need to bone up on, but getting feedback would be good. And I just don't, I'm surrounded by people that are constantly saying, yes, that's great, you know, and singing praises, but yet it's not being recognized by the powers that be.
Well, just keep on doing the work.
Yeah.
If you want to wait and get recognized, that's sort of like a master-slave situation. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you keep doing what you need to do, keep moving forward, but go into some situations, and if you need to, find out about the powers to be, offer to buy them a cup of coffee, and ask them, sit them down and say, what is the deal?
You know, they're business enterprises, actually, that are...
They're just people, hon. They're running businesses. That's it. A business cannot exist without human beings behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, and you're right about the emotions, because emotions tend to get a little haywire after a while.
Mm-hmm. This is just business. Don't worry about the emotions. Don't own it. I've got to go, dear. I've got a break.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Patty. Have a good day. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Lacey McKay wrote a poem that I really liked. By the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. This is the way Lacey's poem reads, and oh, it's accompanied by the most glorious photograph of vermilion-colored leaves of one tree and then the golden leaves of another just in the background behind it, and there is this picnic table that's covered with this array of color, all of these leaves that are falling to the ground and on the table. It's absolutely exquisite. This is what it reads. This is how it reads, I should say. They're coming down in showers, the leaves all golden red. They're covering the little flowers and tucking them into bed. They've spread a blanket there all up and down the street. And when we walk in the cool air, they rustle neath our feet. Lacey McKay. Wonderful poem. And it's just so descriptive, I know, of what's going on here in the Pacific Northwest, because we get winds every now and then. Of course, the trees are now losing their color. And what I love about this time of the year is that you'll walk one block and maybe everything seems to be bare, but the other block that you come up upon, there's all kinds of transitions of colors. So it's an ongoing process, and it isn't until November, where everything is really totally off the trees and brown and sort of lifeless looking. And many times when we start coming into the longer days, don't forget daylight savings time is changing back to standard time on the 2nd of November. So you want to be sure that you change your clocks this coming weekend. And with that comes the longer nights. And oh my goodness, it can be so depressing. If you're a sunshine person and you live in Alaska or you live in some area of the northern part of the United States, and here, I know, in the Pacific Northwest, it gets dark and there's just a whole shift. And I know, as I've gotten older, I really miss the sunshine. And when we shift from daylight savings time back to standard time, I just go, oh, ho, hum. And it's hard to sort of get up early in the morning, like usually that I do, because you want to stay all curled up in bed and be cozy because it's still dark out. Well, many people, they have found, have a condition called SAD. Yes, and it's a condition that is called the seasonal affective disorder. Now, what this does, it causes a depression that affects about 13 million plus people during the winter months only. Now, what I did to remedy that, I ended up getting full spectrum lighting in my home, and wow, did that make a difference. It just altered everything. So I encourage you to consider that. If you live in the part of the country where you have a long, long hours of darkness, that is a real, real boost. The benefit of going to full spectrum lighting is that it just does wonderful things for you. You can also find out about getting yourself a light box, and there's instructions on how to build one of those. 80% of SAD sufferers will usually feel better, and you can go to a site, sadlight.com, sad, S-A-D, light.com, and you can check it out. You can build your own. They don't have to be real expensive. Now, what you can do also, if you wonder if you are affected by this, and many times women who are going through menopause will find themselves being affected by the long, dark hours more than they ever have before. And all is in relationship to hormones. So go to the Center for Environmental Therapeutics. They have a free online test at CET.org. That's CET.org. And remember, one of the best ways to keep yourself up when we have these long, dark hours is to exercise. And, of course, you have heard me interview Teresa Tapp, and you hear about the comment about this one. This is a great exercise regimen to do right in your own home. Any kind of exercise regimen that is going to get you up and moving. You want to be able to make your body keep that energy of upbeat attitude and feeling that is going to really serve you well throughout the day. So many times you want to sort of get sleepy and want to sit in front of the television and just get cozy, comfortable, wrap yourself up in a blanket. But I'll tell you, that's a great thing to do. But exercise is really a good way. If you're working, take a walk outside, get in the fresh, crisp air. Do things for yourself that are really going to make you feel really, really good. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Well, we are coming up to big election time, and I thought I would share with you a few more bits of trivia regarding elections. In 2007, there were neuroscientists that examined the brain activity of undecided voters as they viewed the leading presidential candidates in the race. And perhaps I've already shared this with you, the two candidates who elicited the least amount of activity were John McCain and Barack Obama. Now, Belgium is an interesting country because it has compulsory voting, and it actually will punish you if you've missed four elections in 15 years by not letting you vote for the next 10 years. I wonder how well that would go across over here. And then among the Venetians, for more than 500 years, the Doge of Venice was selected by 30 members of the Great Council who were chosen by lot, who were then reduced by lot to 9, who then chose 40, who were then reduced by lot to 12, who then chose 25, who were reduced by lot to 9, who then elected 45, who were reduced by lot to 11. Sort of confusing? You bet. who then chose the 41 who finally elected the Doge. Now, what researchers said about this is that it actually worked reasonably well in avoiding corruption and the influence of special interests. Well, I don't know about you, but here in the state of Washington, we've got so much going on to go through that process. Whew! I don't know that we'd be ever to make it. And were you all aware about the voting machine? Who invented it? Jacob H. Myers. And it was first used in 1892 in Lockport, New York. He said it was designed to make the process of casting the ballot perfectly plain, simple, and secret. You know, when the machine was invented, it had more moving parts than nearly any other machine or contraption in the United States. Amazing stuff. This is Donna Siebel. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the Freedom Formula right here. Same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.